Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And welcome to Big Sunday, live from Winning Streaks at Harris Casino. A great place. Let me tell you what. There's recliners down here to watch the games. You're going to have 50 cent wings during the games. Even opened up early today, so everybody can come down here. Half price appetizers, 50 cent wings. When there's football, not today, just Monday, Thursday, whenever there's the NFL. And joining me is Desmond Moses, my man Dez. Doing? What's up, Dez?
Thanks for having me again,
good
brother.
Seeing you, former Packer, former Chief. You brought some special friend with you, Desmond. Already your jersey, man.
Yes.
Rocking your jersey. What's going on with that?
This is official,
I like
man.
That. I like that.
That's my girlfriend, Kaylani, man. She got my jersey on.
Well, that's a real girlfriend that wears your jersey, man. That's what I'm talking about. So you can do that. You can get away with that, Desmond.
Sure.
Like, you can get away with rocking your jersey because you guys are dating now.
Absolutely.
I've always had a philosophy on jerseys. I'm a bigger guy, and I used to not be. I used to play linebacker like you, but I was like 230, and I bloomed up to 250. They put me down defensive line. That's how it works, Desmond. But I have this rule, and if you're three spins, you don't wear Tyreek Hill's jersey. You don't wear Patrick Mahomes. You don't even wear your jersey. Your jersey's reserved for 230 to 260.
Right.
Or Kelsey, too. Like you can. Like
oh,
you,
yeah.
What I don't like seeing is that 300-pound guy or 350-pound guy stretching out that 1-5.
No.
You know that 1-5? Man, you got to know your role, man.
Like for me,
it's Chris Jones. One of the linemen, Tardif or Fisher, something like that, or one of the defensive linemen. I'd love to rock, unless they're 90s. If they're 90s, right. I can get away with those linebackers.
Always.
But Derek Thomas, the only jersey I ever bought.
Is that right?
That is the only jersey I ever bought.
I know you told me that,
number
man.
58.
That's a great jersey to buy, man.
Had to retire it, man. Derek was my guy, man. I love watching that guy in college. Loved watching him in pros. How much did you take? You played outside linebacker and pass rusher. What'd you take from the great DT? Because this has been Sac City, man.
Yeah, man. You know, from him, it's just relentlessness. That was one of the things, you know, they really preached about him. He was an unbelievable talent and an effort guy. You know, he'd make those plays on the backside. You know, if you had to block Derek Thomas, you better be ready for four quarters because that guy, he's a warrior. You know, he lived his life on and off the field, but that's what it's about, man. It's having those guys that love playing the game, man, and it was in his DNA, man. If he put that uniform on, you're going to get 110%.
Like, Derek, to me, was one of those guys that just defined, you know, what Kansas City is as far as – and then when Neil – well, Neil was here before Derek, but when with Neil and the pass rush, and Neil said he used to just look down at the end – because I've talked to Neil, you know, since he's been retired, and he used to watch DT, you know, just watch him.
Oh, yeah.
When DT left, that's your snap.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about the quarterback. You just watch DT.
Right.
Because DT was lightning quick.
Sure.
And that's what made him such a good pass rusher. And not only that, I started wearing my seatbelt all the time because of DT. I mean, that's the lasting legacy of Derek Thomas,
man.
Because I always throw it on just for DT. You know?
Absolutely.
Because I wasn't wearing it all the time, you know. And so now it's law or whatever. But DT, that was a big thing to me. And not only that, but I watched that Football Life with Derek Thomas. I know we're talking a lot about Derek, but I always talk about Derek.
Sure.
But he used to fly down. Nobody knew this. He'd fly down to – you know, Oklahoma on his off day. No cameras.
Right.
Children's Hospital. Like, it's what he did, man.
Gotcha.
Like, usually, you know, guys will get the cameras or whatever. And it's not their fault, too.
Sure.
I mean, the team does that stuff and everything as well. But he'd just go on his own.
Sure.
You know, on his own. I was really impressed with that, man.
Yeah, man, that's quality, man. And a guy like that is a guy you want to have around your organization, man. Those are the Russell Wilsons in the league who just carve out time. You know, even though they have really, really stringent schedules, they just carve out that time to give back to the people who really matter to them. And you know, because we were all kids once. You know,
yeah.
I always tell the story about Urban Fryer, man. When I was a kid, I went to his camp, in Willenboro, New Jersey, and I remember these guys looking like idols up there. So these type of actions and events, they have a lot of impact on the youth. So they're important.
No, they do, and they used to have training camp practice at William Jewell before they moved to Minnesota or Wisconsin, River Falls before the Chiefs, because Chiefs did there, and they moved down to St. Joe. That's what you're familiar with. But it was William Jewell for a long time, even like the 69, 70 Chiefs, the old school Chiefs. It was William Jewell for years, and then it was River Falls, which was nice.
Gotcha.
But it was a little bit more of a drive, but it was cool. It was cool temperatures, and of course St. Joe is hot. Reed moves the practices the morning. Haley used to have them, and Romeo to have them in the afternoon when it was hot. So I give Reed credit on that one. But I remember,
you know, going out there, you know, as a high school player, and we go to the Mabee Center there. It's William Jewell. Sure. And they just – it was back a different time of day. I mean, the players just be walking around, DT. They come – because I was a high school player, and my high school team would come down there, you know, and learn from them. And I remember the strength coach, Dave Redding, at the time. He, like, gave us workouts for linebackers specifically and stuff like that. And Alfredo Roberts used to be a tight end here, played at the U, and he played for the Chiefs, and he played for the Cowboys.
Okay.
And he gave me his – this. Think about this, though. He gives me his car keys. Says, go out there. I got a wad of money in this bag. Because I bought him a hat. He goes, I want that hat. So we, some of the team and I got Alfredo's U hat. And he goes, here. Like, that's not happening today. Like, guys aren't giving you car keys and go for getting money. But that was it, man. It was just a different time of day, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice, man. And we still had that interaction when we were there up in St. Joe, man, meeting the college kids. You know, they got a chance to watch us practice.
Help them in recruiting, too, Desmond.
Oh, absolutely. Their field is the facilities are outstanding now. You know, I know the Chiefs have given some money and partnered with them, man. So they have a great facility out there, and they're always great to us, gracious to us, man. And we're thankful for it. But whenever you get a chance to really sit down and talk with somebody who's aspiring to do what you do, man, you want to give them that time of day because
– and it means a lot to kids, too, absolutely. Man. When a pro athlete sits there and helps you out, or you hear about these baseball guys showing up the fields or whatever, these little league kids are playing baseball with them. They love that stuff. I mean, that's away from autographs. It's away from everything else. It's just – you know, guys that want the craft and want the dream like you had.
Absolutely.
You don't want a different lifestyle that you were able to get in the National Football League. And training camp's always fun because you guys are away from things. Well, the fans like going up there and seeing you guys and everything. It's early in the morning, though. Sure. I mean, the family fun day, you got to get that minivan rocking up to St. Joe early. But I always liked, you know, going up there to the training camp. That's always, I know you guys hate it, probably. I mean, you're probably not big fans of training camp. Yeah. And not many teams do it. More and more teams, like almost – most of the teams, except for two or three, had them away.
Really?
And what we've seen now is like almost 20 or 22 of them have them at their facility.
Yeah.
That's what teams are doing. They're having them, you know, at their facility.
Yeah, it's important, man. You know, it's difficult sometimes when you have to move and migrate to a college dorm room. You know, these guys are used to sleeping on very expensive mattresses for comfort. Oh, yeah. And a lot of these guys are big guys. So, you know, I think it, you know, over time it may be something that they move back to. For now, you know, I think St. Joe is the home for the Chiefs, man, and they're enjoying it. I think the city and the Chiefs love it.
Well, Jamal got hurt carrying his microwave in there or something. I'm like, what is Jamal Charles doing carrying his microwave in, man? Someone carry that thing in for him.
That's true. I mean, it happens, man. You see these guys moving. No, I don't remember that particularly. But, man, you see these guys lugging, you know, million-dollar players lugging stuff in. You see people start to scramble.
But it's changing now, man. You had Antonio Brown show up to Raiders camp in a hot air balloon.
Yeah, that's great.
You had Jalen Ramsey show up in a Brinks truck. The Chiefs specialty guys showed up in like a Humvee.
Oh, is that right?
Anthony Sherman shows up in a NASCAR. I mean, this thing's changed, man. It's now how styling are you when you show up to training camp. It's not just – that Honey Badger just comes in on his own. They showed him. He's got his stuff. He gets his stuff. A lot of guys, though, they like to show up in style.
Right.
Man.
And you should, man. I mean, you know, you work all your life.
I love it. I love it.
You work all your life to live this type of lifestyle. Now, granted, you know, some of the statements that were made, you know, Jalen Ramsey's in particular.
Oh, yeah, he won money. He won paid.
Yeah, he wanted to get paid. So now he's in
Brinks
the new
truck.
City. Yeah, he's going to get paid. So I think his that was a statement that he made, and it worked out for him.
When he showed up in that Brinks truck, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Well, he had a Instagram personality with him as well. Yeah. He was speaking for him. So I'm sure that was an event, a spectacle to see.
But we got a lot of Chiefs and Patriots to talk with Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Chief. And, of course, he played at Iowa and Tulane.
Yes, sir.
And from New Jersey. He's from Jersey guy, you know, just like Dana, man, Jersey guy. And Bob wanted me to mention he's a morning. She's a New Jersey guy.
Okay.
So he wanted me to mention. He said, hey, did you tell Desmond I was a New Jersey guy? I said, no, I didn't. I'll tell him on Sunday. I'll tell him Sunday. But college football was yesterday. I don't know if you got a chance to sit down. I didn't move, by the way.
Did you?
I just kind of sat there. I love college football a lot, a lot. But, I mean, I was watching this. Did you watch any of the games?
I did. They had the championships on yesterday, man.
It was championship Saturday, man.
Yeah.
Started off with Oklahoma and Baylor. And I'll tell you this. I have Jalen Ramsey, like, in the Heisman. I have him.
Sure.
There's no way he doesn't get invited.
No, you
got
to go.
Way. Jalen Ramsey's a win. Or Jalen Hurts, not Jalen Ramsey. We're talking about Jalen Hurts. You know what I'm talking about. He's 26-2 from Bama. Mm-hmm. And now this transfer portal. And he graduated, too, so you can go play where you want.
Sure.
But now the guys can leave and go where they want, which I think is good for the kids because – you know, they're a little more lenient on him now.
Yeah.
Like the quarterback at West Virginia was at Bowling Green last year, Jared Daigie. He got to transfer and play right away.
Sure.
Because coaches go wherever they want.
Right. You know, they get a check.
They get to leave and go play. I mean, we're going to see a lot of this before the bowl season where it's interim coaches playing.
Right.
It's just changing. Bama's been in the playoffs every year. They're not in the playoffs this year. They have 7 first-round guys. I'm curious what they're actually going to show up on the field because there's no reason for them to get hurt. And GMs are more like that. They see the bowl games. Playoffs, we don't see the guys sitting out.
Yeah.
But the playoffs, they play. But Jalen Hurts, 3,000 yards passing. 1,000 yards rushing. To be able to do that, it's unbelievable. Lamar Jackson did that twice at Louisville. He's the only player ever to do that in history. But that was good, and I thought it was going to – if Oklahoma would have lost that game, Baylor took him to OT, that it was going to cause, you know, controversy because
what do you
put Baylor in? And then you have – I mean, Baylor would deserve technically to be in because they won the Big 12 and they beat Oklahoma. But you look down the line, you're thinking, could this team beat three-loss Wisconsin? Could this team beat two-loss Alabama? And that's the question, is the committee. Like, Baylor, I know, would be there and deserve to be there because if Utah would have won, the question today, Desmond, and the Utah lost. They lost to Oregon and probably a first-round quarterback in Justin Herbert. Oregon tripped up to Herm Edwards 2 weeks ago where they would have been in the playoff, no doubt about it. Maybe. But if I'm the committee, they got it made now. They got it easy. All of their tough decision is who's number one, Ohio State or LSU. Because it matters because you don't want to be that team playing a third seed LSU.
Right.
Or Clemson. You don't want to be a team play Clemson.
Sure.
But I thought they would have gone Oklahoma over Utah if they won the Pac-12 only because of the television sets and Jalen Hurts and Lincoln Riley. Like, CeeDee Lamb, Oklahoma's flash, man.
Sure.
I know they're
not
playing real well right now, but that team's flash. Nobody really knows about Zach Moss and Utah about the year they've had.
Utah's one of those teams, man, they're playing on the West Coast. They're kind of in a weird division, man. They don't get a ton of games on television, which sometimes hurts these guys.
Late night, yeah.
We see Alabama week in and week out. We see the Clemsons. Even Clemson, I don't think, has had as many games on TV.
No one's talking about them. This team's averaging 41 points a win, man.
How can you be underrated?
They've won two of the last three national titles.
How can you be underrated when you win two out of three?
And people say, well, the schedule, they played A&M in the non-con. A&M only losses are to good teams like Auburn, Georgia, and stuff like that. They can't help it at A&M. And they played a 7-3 Wake Forest team. But the ACC's weak. It might get better now. They need Florida State to be good. They need Florida State to be good because no one's giving them respect.
Right. They need some power in the conference, man, and that rank is kind of hurting them. But at the same instant, that's a team you don't want to play in the playoffs. You know, they're well coached. They have a ton of talent. They have a great quarterback. Man, that kid there, he's going to be a top five pick, I believe. You know, he's a prototypical quarterback. So you just don't want to have to go up against those guys. They can beat you any given Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Friday, whenever you play. Those are the teams that can beat you.
And LSU looked just – dominant
powerhouse.
LSU's just dominant team, and then the night game, Ohio State and Wisconsin. That was fun to watch because Wisconsin gets that early lead.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, Ohio State beats them 38-7.
Oh, yeah.
You got to play these teams twice. That's a good football team you're having to beat twice. Now they come back and win it. Will they be penalized for that win? And I look at Ohio State, and if they go undefeated, if they win the playoffs, you're talking maybe one of the top five teams because Justin Fields, he's done. Mariota once did 42-4, 42 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, won the Heisman. Justin Fields has 40 touchdowns, 1 pick.
Wow.
I mean, that isn't – and you keep this in mind. They've been rolling people. Like, Justin Fields didn't play a lot in the fourth quarter Tua used to not do for Alabama. And you get the best pass rusher in the country in Chase Young.
Unbelievable.
This guy, if he wasn't suspended, which is stupid because it's something that happened a long time ago, it was dumb that they suspended him. But I had him top in the Heisman. I still think he deserves to go because he's the best pass rusher in the country. Then you got the best corner in Jeff Okuda. But Ohio State, I think it's going to be Ohio State and LSU, and I can't wait for that game.
Oh, yeah. I think
we're not talking about Clemson.
Right. I think Chase Young is the best defender across the board in college football.
He can't block him.
Unblockable. I seen last night he was demanding triple teams, which is –
I think he's better than the Boses.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's just
– pass versus you, man.
He's a really large man. He's super athletic. The Boses, nonetheless, when you have two sons that end up being
– oh, they're great. The Boses are great players.
Great
and
family.
Young's right there, but Young is actually statistically better than they are.
Yeah, and he's very, very athletic. He's long. He's strong, man. He's going to be a guy. He reminds me a lot of what's the gentleman's name I'm thinking? The Freak, you know, back in the day, man, from Clemson.
Curse.
Man. Curse. Yeah, man, these guys were just
Florida,
just special guys, man. He'll be one of those guys, but that matchup, Ohio State, LSU, man, that would be pretty cool to see, man. Those guys are two powerhouses. LSU finally has a quarterback.
Yeah.
That kid's special, man. He could win a Heisman easily.
Yeah, he was at Ohio State, and imagine that quarterback.
Man.
Man. That was before Fields got there. But anyway, Desmond Moses, we're at Winning Streaks down at Harris Casino. They opened up right now. And by the way, 50-cent wings and half-price appetizers here. I'm with Desmond Moses, former Packer Chief. We'll switch gears. We talked a little college football there because, well, the selection is going to be at 11 o'clock Central, 12 o'clock Eastern, where they pick the top four, which we kind of know who they are, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Oklahoma. But we'll find out where Kansas State's going. Which bowl? Maybe Campy World Bowl in Orlando against Notre Dame, but we'll keep you posted when those come out. But anyway, Desmond and I are going to talk Chiefs and Patriots. The big game coming up next.
Big Sunday. Hey, Kansas City, this is Therese Paler here to let you know about the Therese Paler Show every Monday night at 6 o'clock during the football season. I know the passion that Kansas City has for football, and that's what this show is all about. 1 hour of the biggest stories surrounding the Chiefs and the National Football League. If you miss an episode, it'll be on demand at 610sports.com or the radio.com app. You can also hear me on The Drive every Tuesday at 3:30 and Fesco in the Morning every Thursday at 8:30. A football show for football fans. Our teams, our town, 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to Big Sunday. Down at Winning Streaks, Harris Casino, 50-cent wings and half-price appetizers. During football today, we have a lot of football down here at Winning Streaks in the casino. Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Chief here, with his friend that's already diving into the drinks, looks like. What's that? What do they call that thing? A fuzzy navel? Mimosa. Mimosa, of course it's mimosa. I mean, I could go for a Bloody Mary right now. I'm not even joking. They say you don't drink all day unless you start in the morning, right? That's the thing. Former Chief Desmond Moses here. We have Chiefs Packers coming up at 325. Pete Sweeney, the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show, comes your direction at 125 today, 2 hours prior to the Chiefs game. So a full 2 hours of Chiefs and Patriots talk coming your direction. Plus, we'll talk to Pete coming up here about 10:45 or so. Frank Clark, still questionable, as the injury report came out from the Chiefs on Friday. A lot of did not practices. Mo Claiborne, Rashad Fenton, of course, those guys ruled out. Damien Williams ruled out. Frank Clark did not practice. He's ruled as questionable. Remember, he didn't practice on Wednesday, and it wasn't the shoulder. It was an illness. But I'll tell you this much, and it's got people talking nationally, the Frank Clark tweet. It's got Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. It's the flu game. And there's Pippen holding Michael Jordan. Why's Frank tweet that, Desmond? That means he's playing.
He's playing.
That means he's playing.
Yeah, athletes, they don't make posts for no reason.
No.
These are precise, decisive moves. I mean, he's going to play, man. He's going to come out. Whatever he's going through, he's going to overcome it, man. He's going to play for his guys.
Yeah, when you show Jordan and Pippen. Now, keep in mind, this is Big Red's decision when it comes down to how he feels during the game. And Spagnuolo probably – and Brendan Daly and all those guys on the defense probably be looking at Frank and see what condition he's in. But it's a big game. It's Tom Brady. We talked about it Friday, Desmond, that – or you got to be able to get to Tom Brady and hit him. Now, Therese Paler, Yahoo Sports, used to be a Chiefs beat writer, calls New England the place where the phones don't work. Mike Tomlin was all about that, the place where the headsets don't work.
Oh, yeah.
And then they got the broadcast in their ear.
Bad signals.
Yeah. You play New England. What kind of shenanigans they do? I heard they'll put – today's going to be fine. The weather's going to be fine. It's not like the – I heard they'll put the temperature outside the locker room and everything. But today's fine. Like, the weather will not be a factor. On the headsets, I can't guarantee you, but weather will be fine.
If you're not treating, you're not trying. You know,
that's what I am, man.
I guess that's what they say. You know, the Patriots have always pressed the line. You know, I even go back to my Iowa days, man. We used to have the visitors' locker room painted pink. You know, it was all psychological.
Yeah, what was up with that, man? Pink toilets, pink locker room. I was known for that, man. What was that supposed to, like, soften you up or something?
Well, I think it's a psychology thing. It's supposed to just relax you. Yeah. It's supposed to relax you to the point where, you know, you don't want to be as aggressive. I don't know how much that worked, but nonetheless, they live by it. And, you know, the Patriots are one of those teams who would try anything, you know, whether it's the temperature, you know, the balls, you know, they're going to try and do their best to win a championship.
You know, the footballs, they have to be careful about now, though.
They regulate those now.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, I think a lot of quarterbacks ended up doing it. That's why a lot of quarterbacks didn't talk about it because they were like, wait a minute, I do that too.
Right.
You know, they check the person. New England just wins, and so they're going to be in the spotlight.
Right.
But I think the quarterbacks all kind of wanted, you know, the ball how they want it. The football's big, man. I mean, these guys all have big hands. The NFL regulation football, it's bigger. I mean, it's big, man. That's not exactly – I mean, these guys, the way Mahomes is chucking that ball around and stuff, it's not as easy as we think because that ball – I mean, these guys, when they go to the combine, they always look at their hands. Oh, he's got big hands.
Big hands, man.
You got to have them.
Throw it, allows you to spin it, man. But I've seen some guys with smaller hands still be able to spin it, man, and really, you know, get that ball out there. But the special ones, I think it doesn't have much to do with their hands. It's more about the arm talent and being able to move and being able to throw from different positions, as you see in the Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, and Manning, you know, people would think he'd throw a perfect ball. He wouldn't necessarily. It would just get there.
Right.
Like, his ball wasn't, you know, the tight spiral like we've seen. Now, some of them were, but he had that knack of just getting the ball where it's supposed to go. I mean, that's what's so – as a defensive player, just tough.
Yeah, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to catch those balls when they're not wobbly, which is why the guys love, you know, catching from the Aaron Rodgers and the Pat Mahomes and the Tom Brady's, because those guys can spin the ball, and it gives you a small point to really focus on. I was an all-state wide receiver in high school, so when you see that thing coming, it's a lot easier to catch the point as opposed to a wobbly point because those things can break fingers. I've seen Aaron Rodgers snapped some guys' fingers off, man. And it's hard to get those back.
It is, man. I did that, too, one time, and the Ray just, like, snapped it. But the excellent chess, I remember Derek Johnson, he, like, dropped a few interceptions, so he had the jug machine.
Oh, yeah.
Because you guys had to catch the ball once in a while, you know?
Oh, we had the jug machine, man. We used to spend some time after practice.
Did you?
Coach Reed would make sure that each position would have time on the jugs, whether it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, throughout the week. Each position group got to go over after practice and spend 10-15 minutes just honing in on their skills, catching the ball, because turnovers are huge plays. You don't want to drop those. Those are impact plays, especially in a game like today.
So what was New England like, though? So you go there. I mean, they've won 18 straight at home. I mean, Baltimore got them. The Texans got them. Those are road games. You know, they don't lose. The Chiefs are one of the few teams to beat them. You go back to 2017 where the Chiefs beat them that first week. The Panthers come in 2 weeks later and beat them. They lost two games at home. They haven't lost since at home, 18 straight in Foxborough. That makes it tough. And we're talking about a league where a lot of the road teams win.
Sure.
You know, the road teams have been going out and winning. They don't lose at home. And not only that, when they have a lead at halftime, it's ridiculous. Something like one loss or something, they've had that lead. And that was the Chiefs. But that lead at halftime, what makes them so tough there?
Well, they're just constantly making adjustments. You know, that's the Patriots' way. You know, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, those guys are professionals. They've been working together for a long time, which gives them a special bond. They see things together, you know, even with Edelman. I'm sure Brady's making these checks. So they're just a team that you have to play for four quarters, two separate halves. They could come out with one plan in the first half and a completely different plan in the second half. They're a special, special group. For today, the Chiefs will just have to play their best ball, man, and continue to pound. Hopefully we see Frank Clark out there get that pressure. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're talking about the Patriots as though they're a struggling team.
Yeah, you know, you lost team of 10 wins.
Right. You think they're struggling. Yeah. You know, Brady's at the end of his run. You know,
we've heard WEI. It's their sister station out in Boston. They're melting down on the phone line. Oh, man. So what do you guys do? You spoiled here or what, man? You get six rings. Emmanuel Acho was on ESPN, and he talked about that interception by the Honey Badger. And I want to ask you about this. Here's what Acho had to say about that interception by the Honey Badger.
It's Ty Matthews, the man known as the Honey Badger. He tweets out, "I'm too smart." So I'm thinking to myself, I got to figure out why. Chiefs, they're playing the Raiders. It's Sunday. Ty Matthew, he is off number two again, counting from outside in. Damian Wilson's off number three, outside in. Linebacker Reggie Ragland, he's off two on the weak side, running back or tight end. But I want to focus on Ty, because he's that dude. Remember, he is off number two. He's off that receiver. He essentially has him man-to-man. But Ty's smart. He plays his receiver man, and he plays the other receiver with his eyes. He knows that scissors route is coming. Look at him. He's looking at number three, who he's not guarding, but here's what I love. He breaks on the ball before the quarterback even throws the ball, because he knows where the quarterback's going before the quarterback even knows where he's going. And just like that, easy interception. So I look at it like this.
The Honey Badger takes what he wants.
Oh, yeah.
And he was fooling him, man. He made that break on the ball before he even threw it. How much instinct is that when you hear that stuff from Acho about the Honey Badger?
That's what we call baiting.
Baiting?
He baited that guy. So essentially he pressed out. He knew that the look that he gave the quarterback would make this guy want to throw that ball. So as he began to wind up, he was already in motion, you know, and that's another testament to him being in the right position, having his hips square, having his eyes on the quarterback. These are all things he's been working on in practice throughout the week. He's a special guy on the field and off the field. His study is clearly, you know, in another realm.
It's film study there. Brady.
For sure.
It's hard to bait Brady. I mean, it's what they're going to find out. But now, the Patriots did their best against Mahomes.
Sure.
The first time he played out there, Hightower gets an interception from linebacker because they baited Mahomes and throwing the ball. Now, credit Mahomes. He made that adjustment. Like, Belichick keeps making adjustments against Mahomes, and he comes back. Just like that title game where they score all the points in the first half. Chiefs didn't. Then the second half is much different. As Mahomes, he just needed a few more minutes or he would have won that game.
Well, they have a lot of old, crusty veterans over there on that Patriots defense, which allows them to do a number of things. Disguise better. So for a young quarterback like Pat Mahomes, although he's super special and talented, he still hasn't seen every look, you know. So Tom Brady's been in there for 17 years, even throughout the week. You know, I'm sure Tom Brady's giving the defensive tips, hey, don't show him this. Make this look like this. You know, so for a quarterback, he has to analyze and read the defense after the snap, which makes everything a tick quicker. But I think that the second time around, obviously Pat Mahomes, man, he's a special kid, and he's studying as well. It'll be interesting to see today who wins that battle between the Patriots defense and the Chiefs offense.
It's Desmond Moses. We're at Winning Streaks at Harris Casino. Bing Sunday, where you have 50-cent wings today. Don't forget the text line 69306 if you have a question for Desmond Moses. Like the other day, I love the question. You would be trucked or juked. And he asked Desmond that question. But we'll be right back because I'm going to talk about the last two games for Mahomes and what to expect. I'm going to give some passes and make some excuses. I'm going to ask Desmond if it's excuses or reality. We do that next.
Big Sunday. Download the radio.com app to listen to 610 Sports Radio wherever you are.
Hey, welcome back to Winning Streaks at Harris Casino. Jay Binkley, former Packer, former Chief, Desmond Moses in the house with us here. 50-cent wings during the game and half-price appetizers. Pete Sweeney's dad from Arrowhead Pride hit me up about Winning Streaks. He was down here. They stayed here when they came in to see old Pete, who will join us in just a little bit to get last-minute Chiefs information before he has the pregame show today. Desmond and I were talking about the Honey Badger and his ability to bait quarterbacks into throwing that pick. And we don't expect Tom Brady to be baited. But let's talk quarterbacks for a second because I feel that both these – I mean, we're talking two quarterbacks here that are great. We're talking the MVP in Mahomes.
Sure.
We're talking Tom Brady, who is the GOAT. He's got six rings. You don't win six rings for no reason. You don't play football at his age unless you love the game. Been the nine, and they're melting down in New England. They're spoiled, you know. Hey,
right.
What's wrong with Brady? What's wrong with Brady? Is it? And it might be the receivers. I think it's the receivers, and Brady's been talking about these receivers. And he didn't have the weapons like he's had in the past. I mean, they really needed Antonio Brown thing to work out for him because that was scary. But Tom Brady, 42 years old, man. I don't know what diet he's on, but I want it.
Man, I don't know what it is either. I don't know if it's the yoga. I don't know if Giselle's giving him the, you
he's
know,
got this, like,
the
personal trainer, Desmond. And, Belichick won't let this trainer fly with him anymore.
Right, right.
They don't, the Patriots, like, don't like this guy for some reason.
Apparently, he has some unorthodox
Yeah, and some methods. Of the players were going there. And, like, hey, no, you're going to our doctor.
Right, right. They don't want to they want to keep that stuff in-house.
Well, it works, though, Desmond.
He's special, man. I think he has it all down from the diet to the exercise to keeping his body limber, you know, plus the rules that they put in for him. You know, that always allows a guy to play a little bit longer. But I think you're right about that. I think that it's the Patriots receivers right now that are struggling. You've seen a lot of young guys. They had a lot of turnover this year with Gordon. They've had Demaryius Thomas out there.
Sanu's good. But,
AB. But they just haven't gotten these guys on the same page and playing enough. So, you know, right now he's, you know, he can see his only guy that he really trusts is Edelman. He's got a lot of young guys around him, but they'll come along. That's the special thing about Tom Brady. He'll get these guys coached up during the week. He'll get the chemistry going. There won't be as many errant throws.
Yeah, the one thing about Edelman, too, is DeAndre Hopkins of the Texans said he watches the game film all the time because you got to find that crease, you got to find that opening. He's very good at just finding that opening. And in the Texans game, the Patriots dominated the game. They had about 10 more minutes, 29 first downs. Texans just 16. Belichick was playing Princeton basketball. He's playing keep away, trying to keep Watson on the sideline. He's going to do that at Mahomes.
Absolutely.
There's going to be limited opportunities, I feel, today. For Mahomes, he's got to make the best of him. Watson made the best of his opportunities. Watson's a winner, man. We're looking at the new blood at quarterbacks. Watson, yeah. Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes. Is Brady going to be turning this torch over to those guys? And Jackson got him. Watson got him. Mahomes wants him too, man. Mahomes did everything he could to beat him last year and was let down a little bit, you know, by the defense to some extent. But I'm not worried about Mahomes. I'll tell you why, Desmond. Tell me if this is an excuse or not because you played the game and I want to know. Because I'm not an excuse guy, but I will give Mahomes a pass. And I'll tell you what, 7,500 feet in Mexico City.
Yeah.
It was so bad that the Chargers went to train at the Air Force Academy.
Right.
It was 7,200 feet to get used to it. And I don't know if the Chiefs use those altitude masks like I see at the gym all the time, but they might have. But that's 2,000 feet higher than Mile High.
Right.
And those guys were sucking oxygen, man. Chiefs and the Chargers in that game. Nobody had Phillip Rivers didn't have a good game. And I know Phillip Rivers, you know, skills are declining, but he was terrible. Mm-hmm. And Mahomes ran the ball, which is great because he showed off his knee that it would work. And then you had this next game, but they scored 40 points. And he won both those games, by the way. He won those games with people like, well, Mahomes not lighting up the scoreboard. And like, he didn't have to. Kelce dropped a few. In the fourth quarter, they were able to run the football with Darwin Thompson.
Right.
Mahomes could have lit up the scoreboard, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter. If the run wasn't there, you still would have seen him chuck the ball around. Shady gets a touchdown by running. I think, you know, Mahomes could have thrown that in, but I'm not worried because I'm looking at the situations. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's excuses. I think they're just watching the games and understand what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs have been playing well. You know, it's you can't lie about that, man. These guys are playing at a very high level. Nonetheless, man, coming into the day, they're going to have to take it up a notch. You know, the Tom Brady's, the Bill Belichick's, those guys really understand this time of the year. You know, now we're getting late into the season where it's a war of attrition. You know, we're talking about the injury report. These are the things that really count now. So, I want to see what the gel looks like today for the Patriots offense. And even for the Chiefs offense, man, they had some guys banged up, man. We love to see Tariq Hill back out there healthy and continue to run the game. But at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to try to slow it down, keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. They're going to run the ball. There won't be very many three and outs. They're going to try to have 3, 4, 5, 10-minute drives if they can, because they know that they can't score. The Chiefs, I'm talking, they can't score if they're not on the field.
They've been able to run the ball better a little bit lately. They're 3.5 yards a carry. And that's always been a staple of the Patriots. I'll never forget, you know, last year in the postseason, they held people to 40 rushing yards a game, which is much different than the regular season. They flipped that switch, and then they ran for 160 a game. They ran for 145 against the Texans, held them to like 52 yards rushing. They'll still attempt it, and if they're having success, I mean, keep in mind, they're going to come out there pounding the ball because it moves the chains. I think Belichick, by watching his stuff, I was watching his like telestrator that he does with Scott Zolak on Patriots.com, and he keeps bringing up Hardman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's brought up Hardman several times, which is really weird because Hardman hasn't got the targets lately, but he's got that speed that Belichick respects, and Hill has got that speed because Belichick knows no matter what you do, even if you bottle these guys in, they can still take it to the house. Yeah. And I think that's what scares him because as a defensive-minded coach, you can't control game-changing speed like that.
Yeah. Well, I seen that play Hardman had a week ago, man, where he looked like he was shot out of cannon. This kid can –
it's ridiculous.
He got acceleration that's special. I think for Bill Belichick, he understands, you know, you have two guys with elite speed, you know, with world-class speed in Hardman and Hill, you know, but they have some guys on the back end who can run as well. Bill Belichick plays those mind games during the day. He likes to take the focus off of certain guys. Mm-hmm. You know, he likes to put stuff out in the media so that you think he's thinking one thing and he goes with another route. Nonetheless, it's going to be exciting to see. There's no way to really mimic speed, you know, so I'm sure the Patriots are trying to find their fastest guys to,
well, that was,
you know,
the thing. They're talking about the scout team. You know, they don't have, quote, those guys on the scout team to simulate that. In Hardman, quarterbacks have a rating. Moore and Mahomes have a rating of 153.6.
Okay.
When targeting, that was based on the 32 targets. Pro Football Focus said he's the most underrated Chief.
Wow.
Well, you think, I mean, that's very productive when you're throwing to him. I mean, that's production. I think he's kind of the X factor because what's going to happen is Belichick's going to do his best to bracket Kelce and Hill.
Sure.
And Kelsey's had some success against the Patriots.
Don't forget about Robinson, man. He's a player.
That's the thing. Like, DeMarcus could stand up and have a game, and I think that could be it. Like, Watkins had 114 yards receiving, went in the playoff game.
Okay.
Hill and Kelce were bottled up. That was clearly what Belichick wanted to do. Then Sammy had to break it. Like, Sammy could do that today, or it might be D-Rob, or it could be Cole Hardman, or Hill and Kelce will just go off anyway with the coverage. Who knows what's going to happen?
Right.
But typically Mahomes will make that other guy a superstar. Just like the beginning of the season, Desmond, there's a different leading receiver each week for like the first 6 or 7 weeks. But it could be somebody like that. Who do you think is that guy today? Or do you think it's Hill?
Yeah.
Because he's been good. He's averaging 7 for 137 during the regular season against the Pats. They got him in the postseason, but not the regular season.
Well, that's special, man. And I think it's a good problem for the Chiefs to have. Like we said, we're going down our fingers trying to count all their weapons. You mm-hmm. know, a lot of teams only have one or two weapons. So for the Chiefs, it's, you know, that's a great problem to have. It doesn't matter for Pat Mahomes or Andy Reid. You know, they're an unselfish offense. Who gets the most touches? It's about getting points on the scoreboard and winning the game. So I think today I think Tariq Hill's going to have a big day, man. I always like this kid because he can, you know, in one half, change the whole scope of the game. You know, when you see a guy take off for 2 50-plus-yard touchdowns or, you know, just run past you and chuck the deuces, man, it takes a toll on your soul.
When he caught Damien Williams. Damien Williams is fast, man.
Right.
He was like 4.46 at the combine, so I'm like, damn, Tyreek Hill caught him. I still want to see him race against Hardman. They won't because of somebody getting hurt. I think Tyreek Hill would have him.
Back in the day, they used to race, man. I don't know why these guys.
Tyreek Hill's like 4.2 guy, yeah. Hardman at the combine is 4.33.
I would never bet against Tyreek Hill.
I wouldn't either. I would take Tyreek, actually.
Period.
I would take that. It's funny, Bo Jackson, when he's with the Royals, right? We all know Bo is fast. And Willie Wilson for the Chiefs. And Willie once told the story, he's like, Bo, he said he went to Bo and said, I'll race you for $100.
Huh.
Bo said, yeah, no problem, man.
Yeah, I'll take
it. No problem, chump. And they got on the line and went right from one white line to the other. And then Bo took off and started running. Willie didn't run. And he goes to Bo and says, hey, where's my $100? And Bo says, what are you talking about? He goes, I told you I'd race you for $100. They said I'd beat you. So it's that Bo Jackson.
One of those, yeah.
Yeah, it's that Bo Jackson.
You know what? I always tell this story, too, about Tyreek. The first camp he came in, man.
Yeah.
I was still with the Chiefs. We're up in St. Mm-hmm. Joe, man. They gave this guy a speed sweep, and I was on the end that he was running, too. It looked like it was a fake handoff. I mean, I didn't really look at the guy kind of. You know, and I'm going this way, and I turn around this guy 70 yards down the field. He had the ball, man. He was the fastest guy I ever seen on the field. You could hear him run.
Well, the Chiefs, when they drafted him, I mean, it was going to be – he didn't develop as a receiver because he'd done both, you know. He had been a running back and a wide receiver, kind of did both. That kick return game, which he's deadly. That could flip a game. Flip a game.
Sure.
Well, when you can do that.
Big plays.
And they started to increase his package. Like, Andy Reid realized what he had, and he started just to gradually increase because it became such a weapon. And
sure.
They're like, man, nobody's got this.
Sure.
Nobody's got this. And they keep drafting this stuff, which is great.
He reminds me a lot of Percy Harvin. Man, Percy Harvin was a guy who played running back, wide receiver, kick return, punt return. You know, I played him my rookie year three times, I believe, when he was in Minnesota. Man, he's just one of those guys you have to game plan for. Even though he may not get the most touches on offense, he's going to affect the game in a major way. Whether it's, you know, like we said, punt returns, kick returns. You take one of those to the house, one special team play to the house, or that's a game changer. You know, that changed momentum and field position tremendously.
You know, I think he's the best in the game at this point. I mean, his routes, I mean, he studies his craft.
Sure.
Put it that way. He wants to make a difference. Desmond Moses, Jay Binkley, Bink Sunday, live from Winning Streaks at Harrah's Casino. Pete Sweeney, editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, and host of the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show, the pregame show for the Kansas City Chiefs, joins us next.
Bink Sunday. Rich Gannon, Wednesdays at 4:30 on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
And welcome back to Big Sunday. Jay Binkley down at Winning Streaks at Harrah's Casino with Desmond Moses, former Packer, former Chief, as we've been breaking down the game. We're going to talk to Pete Sweeney in just a second. But man, there's some good games today. Get yourself down here to Winning Streaks. Get those 50-cent wings, half-price appetizers. Great place here, too. Recliners, chill out, watch the games. The beer selection here is second to none. And the food here is outstanding. Ravens Bills get you started at noon. And don't forget, 11 o'clock, the College Football Selection Show going, which I will be dialed into. Let you know where Kansas State is going bowling in the top four, which we already know. Which order, we don't know. Joined now by the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com. And he's, of course, the host of the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show 2 hours prior to the Chiefs and Patriots, as you hear right here on 610 Sports Radio. And, of course, Pete now. Take your calls on the post-game show for 2 hours right immediately following the game. And my daughter keeps texting me because she wants things. Pete, what's going on?
Jay, you got a full day.
You know, I have a full day, Pete. I'm going to join you at 227 on the Arrowhead Pride Tailgate Show. I'm down here with my guy Desmond. Desmond taking a break here to get some wings and some grub. He's got a posse here, man, the Desmond crew. I call him the Desmond crew. And they got his jersey on
like
and stuff as well, Pete. Yeah, it's a crew, man. Crew, you ready for the pregame show?
Yeah, well, we'll be getting going at 125. Ken Swanson will be joined by our full nerd squad to give us some insight in the game, and we'll talk about all of the storylines. Should be fun. 125 to 325, leading you right up to kickoff on what should be the biggest game of the year, the game we circled when the schedule was released.
No, we did circle it, and I think what's more important? You know, you think of the Chiefs and the psyche, hey, we beat New England Patriots, beat that team that we might see later on in the playoffs. They had our number last year, Mahomes versus Brady. You know, we could notch that one by beating Tom Brady, you know, before he retires, whenever that is. And, of course, the national narrative, which I know they don't care about, but as fans we do. We care about what they're saying about the Chiefs. You know, all of a sudden the Chiefs win this game, people are talking about the Chiefs like they are the Ravens lately.
Yeah, there's no bigger game this year. There'll be no bigger game this year until the AFC title game for the Chiefs. Even in the divisional round game, you know, if they see the Patriots or see another team, and they've been there before. We've been there, done that. And the rest of the season is the Bears, the Chargers, and the Broncos. So this is the most important game for about a month or two here. And it could really give the Chiefs confidence, I think, going into the postseason. It's a unique situation. The AFC West is a little bit down this year. It's pretty much over. You know the Chiefs are going to perform well against those last three teams, but it's can they compete with the top-notch teams in the AFC? And we've already seen the Texans able to defeat the Patriots, the Ravens able to defeat them. Now let's see if the Chiefs can do it.
Pete, Frank Clark tweeted out, of course, he's listed as questionable. Like you and I talked about throughout the week, we thought this would be the scenario for Frank Clark not practicing. And, of course, we know that illness that hit Frank Clark, and it sounds like, you know, he was sick. So it sounds like more of that than the shoulder. And I'm just going by his Twitter account, which he tweets out a picture of Michael Jordan in the flu game with Scottie Pippen and holding him up. Is that a precursor to he's playing?
You got to think so. It's just a funny time, I think, in sports where every athlete has a microphone. If they want to get on their phone, you can find them instantly. And, yeah, we see that. He tweets the flu game. I mean, he probably will play. The Chiefs are better off having him, I think, with the way he's been playing lately than anyone else, even if he's sick. I think he'll do what he can. He'll try to stay hydrated and get through this illness and hopefully be effective today. The Chiefs are going to need him. I mean, the only time you really see a ton of success against Tom Brady is when he is feeling pressure down his throat, and then Frank Clark could certainly provide that, hopefully sick or not.
Pete, real quick, should I go nachos or wings?
Well, I think if you're at Winning Streaks and they have all these deals where there's deals for both, why limit yourself to one option? I think you get both.
Okay, and I do have to spend time with you later, so I'm just making sure as we're going to watch this this game together. Pete, Chiefs in New England, you expecting any shenanigans? I was asked Desmond about playing out in New England like he did. He actually cracked Tom Brady, got 15 yards for doing it in that playoff game back in the 2015 season. But the weather's going to be great. They can't really put the temperature outside the locker room. The only thing that could stop them is those headsets working. Remember Trez Paylor? He calls it the place where the headsets don't work.
Yeah, and in talking to people around the league and in the course of covering a team, you talk to a lot of different folks. I think the idea of the Patriots doing whatever it takes to win, that's like very real. I think that's always on the mind of coaches and things like that. You heard it in that Tomlin interview where the broadcast was running on their headsets, and that's clearly unfair, clearly a product of Foxborough, and they say that, it is what it is, it was an accident or whatever. But yeah, I think that whole stigma is real, and people fear, what are the Patriots going to do to have this unfair advantage? And not to say that they don't deserve their success, but you think about the filming and with the Jets and so on and so forth. So again, the Patriots are going to do whatever they can. I think they have some guys with attitude, like an Edelman will get up, similar to like a Travis Kelce and signal first down and things like that. So it should be this fierce game, and it's something that we should look forward to. This is what we wanted all year. Let's see if the Chiefs can stand up to the challenge.
Well, 18 straight home wins for the Patriots. I know the Ravens got them, the Texans, but those were on the road for New England. We know how tough this team is to play at home. Not the Chiefs can't beat them, and I'm going to hold off on my prediction a little bit here. I know that you do until Pete's picks there. Or what do you call that? Pete's picks, or what is that in the pregame show?
Premier picks.
Premier picks. My bad, Pete. I thought it was Pete's picks, man. Premier picks.
Come on.
Are you? No, I'll be making the pick with you and Kent Swanson and stuff like that. But what's your confidence level at now? You don't have to tell me who's going to win the game or lose the game. You pretty confident in this group, even though the offense may have not been the same offense we've seen. I'm still going by the altitude and wind.
Yeah, I've just seen Mahomes play for two seasons now, and I know he wasn't willing to admit it, and I asked him this week about Tom Brady, but I really feel this could be the last chance that Mahomes has to beat Tom Brady. We don't know what's going to happen. I mean, that's the reality. We don't know if he's going to retire. We don't know if he'll be back in New England next year. We don't know what's going to happen. We thought going into this year that the Chiefs and the Patriots would be the for sure first round bye, and then they meet in the AFC title game. That at the end of the season here is no given. It looks like the Ravens are at least going to have one of those byes. And so, yeah, I mean, this could be it. I think this is his last chance. He's 0-2, even though he's had good games in both games, and I think he finds a way to get it done. So 1-10, my confidence level probably 6 or 7. I'm not super super high, but I'm confident enough that the Chiefs have a good chance to win this football game.
What if the Ravens lose today, and what if the Chiefs win? Where are you putting the Chiefs in the AFC as far as the best teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think they're still within the top three. It'll be interesting. I mean, you have really, if that were a scenario that happens today, you have, I think, what is a wide-open AFC with four really, really talented teams and talented quarterbacks. I think it's anyone's game. And, it'll be wide open. It's tough to call. I still think the Ravens right now are better than the Chiefs. If they lose today, of course, you have to question that. We'll see what happens.
Pete Sweeney's the editor-in-chief, arrowheadpride.com, your source for Chiefs information. Not only that, he'll have the Arrowhead Pride tailgate show with Kent Swanson 2 hours previous to the Chiefs-Patriots game. And, of course, Pete and I will take your calls in the Arrowhead Pride postgame show immediately following. Looking forward to that because I think so many narratives can be made today for the Kansas City Chiefs. Pete, we'll be tuning in to the pregame show here in a little bit.
Yeah, we got you 1:25 p.m. right here on 610 Sports Radio. And then if you have your phone out, if you want updated information, arrowheadpride.com all day long. So thanks, Jack.
And radio.com as well. Thank you, Pete. Thank you very much. But yeah, you can look, you're out and about, radio.com, our app for that. You can listen to that or you can tune right into 610 Sports Radio. I'm at Winning Streaks, Harris Casino, 50-cent wings and half-price appetizers. Throughout the games, for the football games, you know, it's not just today, it's tomorrow and it's Thursday. Whenever the NFL is on, Winning Streaks has you covered with that. Desmond Moses will join me again here at 11 o'clock. We're going to dive into this finding an identity, plus keep you abreast of what's going on in the college football playoffs as the committee making their selections today. We'll do that next.
Big Sunday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.